Well, let's pray before we think about that passage. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we ask that you would speak clearly by your Spirit through your word now. And we ask that you would be speaking to our hearts, and that you would be changing our minds, and so changing our wills. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, do you have that passage open with the open in front of you on page 981, bottom right-hand corner of page 981. We'll be referring to it a few times as we work through there. Poo. Poo. You won't be surprised that poo and everything to do with it is a source of great entertainment in our house right now. A particular member of the household is pretty transfixed by it. And I don't mean me. And before you think it's Liz, I don't mean her either. As adults, we tend not to talk about such things unless we've got a baby, or maybe we're toilet training a little one, or perhaps we're poorly. Otherwise, we don't mention poo much, do we? And even when we do have a reason to talk about it, we kind of don't talk about it that much. We don't talk about such things that make us mucky in polite company, do we? We don't think about things that are a bit yucky. But Jesus doesn't shy away from talking about the things that make us really yucky. Really yucky. Not poo, but worse stuff. Look with me at the end of our passage, Matthew chapter 15, verse 17, that's over the page on 982. Verse 17. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? There you go. There's Jesus' mention of poo. So the Apostle Paul actually is pretty blunt on this as well. He uses a word that we definitely wouldn't use from the front. Anyway, verse 18. But these things that come out of a person, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile, make dirty a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Jesus talks about the things that make us really yucky, doesn't he? Yes, he hints at poo, but he doesn't. That doesn't really make us properly yucky, because it washes off or wipes off, doesn't it? Nothing that we eat and the resulting waste can make us as yucky as what Jesus is really talking about. He's talking about sin, because sin defiles, makes dirty. Not physically, but spiritually. Sin is a problem with our heart, the core of our being. Not our actual physical beating heart, but the heart in the Bible is the very stuff of us. The way we tick, the thing that drives us, like the bridge of a ship. Sin is a problem with our heart. And the thing that comes out of our mouths are the things that reveal what our heart is really like. What we say is a window onto our soul. What we think is a window onto our soul. I wonder how we're doing. How's your heart? How's my heart? We're going to look at this section of Matthew's Gospel in three sections. First of all, we're going to think about that end section that we've already begun to think about, and I've called that, How's Your Heart? Then we're going to go back up to the beginning, verses 1 to 10, and I've called that section, Don't Try Washing Away Your Own Spiritual Muck. And finally, we'll land in the middle, verses 11 to 15, to see that we need Jesus to clean us up. So first of all, verses 16 to 20, how's your heart? How's your heart? Jesus speaks to all of us here. Now, I love freshly ground coffee. I'm part of a subscription club that sends out a bag of different coffee each month. You're going to think I'm a proper geek now if you didn't already. They're all whole beans, and I love the way in which you have to work out how fine to grind the beans, whether the coffee is better made in a cafetiere, one of the plunger things, a drip percolator, or an espresso machine. Then you have to work out the best temperature to brew it at to get just the right taste out of it. I love the geekiness to it, and I love the taste as well. But one thing I've really noticed is that a poor quality bean, a bean that's not much good, will never end up providing a great taste in the cup, however hard you try. Yes, you can cover it over with a taste of sugar or one of those flavoured syrups. You can get away with a slightly bitter, not so good coffee if you kind of cover it up and mask it, and that works to an extent. But the quality of the bean will always, in the end, determine the quality of the coffee that comes out, whichever machine you're using to brew it. What comes out is determined by what's inside. And Jesus is saying something very similar about our hearts. The quality of our speech, the quality of our thoughts, is determined by what's inside us, determined by the state of our hearts. And Jesus lists some of those things that are in the darkest corners of our hearts, that come out of our mouths, that cross our minds, and reveal the state of our hearts. So how's your heart? Jesus talks about murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, that's telling lies, making up something that's not quite true, just passing off the truth as something a bit different from what you're saying happened. Slander, that's telling untrue things about other people, making up that somebody is not quite what they think that they are when that's untrue. All these things make us spiritually really mucky. And before any of us protests because we've never murdered anyone and we've never committed adultery, let's remember what Jesus said earlier on in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, he says this: "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago in the Old Testament, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Jesus is saying that if you're really angry with somebody in your heart, that's just as good as having murdered them. And he says, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And it doesn't need to be a woman that you're looking at. It could be a man looking at a man, a woman looking at a woman looking at a man, or a man looking at a woman. If we look in the wrong way, if we look lustfully, Jesus says that in our heart we have committed adultery. The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. How's your heart? How's my heart? How's this week been for you? Have you spoken out of turn to somebody? Have I spoken out of turn to somebody? Have we thought wrong thoughts about someone? Have we looked at somebody lustfully? Have our eyes lingered on someone in the wrong sort of way? Have we tried to turn somebody's friends against them by just making up something that's not quite true about them? Very easy to do, isn't it? To make yourself look a little bit more popular. The temptation to let our hearts get away with murder. Have our words been true and upbuilding about people all the time this week? Have our actions been honest? And that's just this week. What about last week, the week before that? I know I've not even lived the way that I would want to live, and I need to come back to Jesus day by day by day by day. How are our hearts, I wonder? I guess if we're honest, we have to say that we have heart trouble, don't we? Our thoughts and our words reveal its extent, and we need to do something about it. But what can we do? What can we do? How's your heart? Well, let's head back up to the start of our reading and see if the Pharisees can offer any wisdom, see if they can offer a solution to our heart's trouble. And this section I've called, Don't Try Washing Away Your Own Spiritual Muck. So that's a bit of a spoiler as to how successful the Pharisees are, isn't it? But don't try to wash away your own spiritual muck. And we're in verses 1 to 10. I think we need to do a little bit of unpacking of this section, of what's going on here. At the beginning, we've got the Pharisees coming to Jesus with a complaint about his disciples. Verse 2, look with me. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. The tradition was that if ye ate without washing your hands, without washing hands in a particular way, before you ate a meal, you made yourself spiritually unclean, because you're not washing your sin off before you're putting stuff in your mouth. You might eat something unclean on your hands, mightn't you? Or you might actually cause yourself to eat something unkosher. And they claimed that by ritually washing your hands before a meal, you actually were cleansing all of your sin away. And so the Pharisees were very careful to wash their hands in the right way while saying the right words, and to be seen by doing that by everybody, so that everyone knew that they were righteous, upstanding people. And Jesus sees right through them, doesn't he? And he pulls them up short. First of all, he says that they might not be breaking their elders' traditions, but they are certainly ignoring the command of God. Verse 4. For God said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But look what the Pharisees say. Verse 5. If anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honour their father or mother with it. Now, that's a bit confusing. What's going on here? Well, the Pharisees are saying that God has given me all of this wonderful wealth, all of these wonderful resources, this time to help my parents. But look, God's given it to me, so I'm going to give it back to God, and I'm going to jolly well use it for the person who God's given it to. For me, it would be wrong to bless my parents with the stuff God's given me, wouldn't it? That would be a sin. So you see what they're doing? They're turning God's law absolutely on its head. And they're justifying themselves. They're ignoring God's word about how to treat their parents. And ignoring God's word is called sin. It's the oldest thing in the book, isn't it? To ignore what God had said. The Pharisees know deep down that that's wrong. They can read the plain words on the page. And to try to deal with their guilty consciences, they wash their hands in a particular way to try and wash their sin off. And so Jesus calls them hypocrites. They know one thing is true, and yet they say and do the other. They remain steeped in what defiles. We're not Pharisees if we're trusting Jesus and wanting to obey his word, are we? Pharisees are people who try to look good with religious fervor and yet set aside God's word while they're doing it. A religious Pharisee would be somebody who comes to church to be seen to be here and to be seen to be doing the right thing, to be doing their religious bit for God once every so often. I'm sure none of us are here for that reason at all. But if we are, then we need to come to Jesus on his terms rather than to come to church on ours. But there are plenty of non-religious Pharisees too, aren't there? Well, they say they're non-religious, and they appear to be non-religious because they're not in church or temple or synagogue or mosque or anywhere. But with religious fervour, they're seen to be doing what makes people righteous in the eyes of the world. They're recycling, they're becoming vegan. They're using the politically correct language of acceptance and inclusion. They love to have a French flag, a Belgian flag, a rainbow filter on their Facebook profile page. They like to share the right tweets. And goodness me, if you're on the in the Humberside police area, make sure you don't share the wrong tweet, because they'll be phoning you up to check your thoughts, apparently. Anybody see that on the news at the end of last week? They'll want to troll those who don't share their virtues. And they will have to be seen to be righteous in their eyes and their tribe's eyes. It all looks very good, doesn't it? Very tempting to follow those ways. But there are Pharisees within the church as well, wolves in sheep's clothing, cuckoos in the nest. They're the ones who've set aside God's word and replaced it with a fake holiness. How else have we got these outrageous pastoral guidance from the bishops just last month? Setting aside the word of God about his good creation and replacing it with a fake holiness governed by the false gospel of inclusion. Don't be lured by any of these kinds of false holiness or fake righteousness. Being a vegan doesn't make you righteous, nor does recycling. Nor do any of these kinds of virtue signalling that go on in our world around us. They don't make us more righteous at all, just like special hand washing didn't make the Pharisees more righteous. We can't make ourselves clean before God. We can't rid ourselves of the things that defile, of the spiritual poo, if you like. So if you're trying to do that, please stop. Don't try washing away your own spiritual muck. So what do we need to do instead then? What is it that we need to do if we can't wash it away ourselves? Well, that brings us to the third section of what Jesus said. And so as we begin to draw towards the end, verses 11 to 15, we need Jesus to clean us up. We need Jesus to clean us up. Look with me at verse 14. Jesus calls the Pharisees blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. The Pharisees' way eventually leads to spiritual death, to hell, because they're not really washing away their sin, are they? They're steeped in it still, even though they've got very, very, very shiny hands. Don't follow them, says Jesus. And the same goes for today's Pharisees, whether they be inside or outside the church. Don't follow them. Their way leads to hell, because God cannot, will not, let anyone who is spiritually defiled into heaven. So what do we need to do then? We know we're spiritually dirty, and we know we can't clean ourselves up. Well, turn with me to John chapter 13. Keep your finger in Matthew chapter 15, and turn with me to John chapter 13, and it's on page 1081, page 1081. Page 1081 and John chapter 13. And Jesus is washing the disciples' washing their feet. Literally washing all the muck that had gathered on their feet, that would get on their feet as they walk through muddy roads that they share with donkeys and oxen and the like. You can imagine the actual poo they would get between their toes and whatever. But Jesus is using this as a visual parable, a parable of the cross. The dirt represents spiritual dirt, and Jesus' washing of it represents what he did on the cross. Look with me at verse 6. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." "No," said Peter, you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean." You see, when we first come to Jesus in repentance and faith, when we first recognize we're spiritually mucky and we put our trust in Jesus, we say, sorry that I've gone my own way. Please clean me up. Please give me a spiritual bath. Please give me new life. When we first come to him, we're spiritually bathed. We're cleaned up. We're made new. We no longer are characterized by the spiritual muck that we've gathered on us since the day we were born. But even though in the power of the Spirit we do our utmost to live God's way, we still mess up, don't we? I mess up. I'm sure you've seen me do it. We all mess up, don't we? Evil thoughts and words come bubbling out of our hearts and our mouths. So we need the spiritual muck that we gather on our feet as we walk through life, cleaning off us by Jesus regularly. And that's what Jesus is saying to Peter. He's saying to Peter, "You're clean. You're okay because I've washed you once and for all. But you're still getting encrusted with muck. So you need to come back to me regularly in repentance and faith to say sorry. And I will give you a new start by washing your feet, by taking away that muck time and time and time and time and time again. And because you're a new person," he says, "you only need your feet washing, not your whole self, because you're new." Did you know that's what Jesus says to you? You're new, you're clean, if you're trusting in him, you're spiritually cleaned up. But he says, "Come to me when you mess up, because I'll wash your feet. I'll take it away. I'll deal with it for you." Can you see how different that is from trying to wash off the spiritual dirt from ourselves? It's totally different, isn't it? It's the other way around. However much you try to wash your own spiritual dirt off, you'll only be like Lady Macbeth, who says, "Out, damn spot," as she washes her hands to absolutely no avail. But Jesus' washing works. We can't make ourselves righteous before God. God's already done that, and we can't make ourselves clean before God when we sin, because Jesus does it for us. He cleans us up. We collect spiritual muck dirtier than poo. We collect it on our feet as we walk through life. It comes out of our mouth. It comes out of our thoughts. And Jesus graciously wipes us up every time. That doesn't give us an excuse, not by God's Spirit, to try to live his way. We're called to live his way, aren't we? To walk in the good works that he's laid out in front of us. But when we mess up, not if, when we mess up, he cleans us up and sets us on our way again and again and again and again. Such is his matchless grace. What a wonderful, caring Saviour we have. I wonder, how's your heart? Don't try and clean it up yourself. It doesn't work. But come to Jesus time and time and time again. When these things of our old self come spewing out, come back to him. Ask him to clean us up. Ask him to set us on our way again. Ask him to help us to live more for him day by day. And if you've never honestly come to Jesus in repentance and faith for yourself, then perhaps today is the day to get yourself spiritually bathed, spiritually cleaned up for the very first time, once and for all. But if you do that, you'll keep, just like me, needing to come back to Jesus to get your feet washed. Because out of the heart comes all of this stuff, and we need cleaning up and setting on the right track time and time again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your patience to us, with us. We thank you that you are our gracious Saviour who cleans us up and sets us on the right way day in, day out. And we pray that we would live more for you day by day. But we pray that we would remember to come back to you in repentance and faith when, not if, we mess up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.